restrictive principles so that gradually meat eaters and sex hunters will be restrictive principles so that gradually meat eaters and sex hunters will be rectified. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chaksur Unmilena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the translation is with Bhunebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So in a very succinct manner, summarizing, this is the story of King Bharata. King Bharata was the son of Lord Rishabhadev. And after Lord Rishabhadev gave the kingdom to his son Bharat among his 100 sons, Bharat became such a fantastic Hare Hare and devotee of Krishna, that he was blessed to rule the entire, I guess, Bharatvarsha for 10 million years. And the entire planet was named after him. It was called Ilavrata Varsha, and now it became Bharatvarsha. And after enjoying, quote-unquote, enjoying royal opulence for 10 million years, since he was a very not fully connected with the pastime or storyline, so in a very, all of it, without any hesitation, he bequeathed the entire kingdom or gave it to his son. And so he set the perfect example of how to retire from worldly or household affairs and focus on strict cultivation of Krishna consciousness in the Vanaprastha stage. And Vanaprastha means entering the Vana forest. So he went to reside in Pulaha Ashram to rule the entire, I guess, Bharatvarsha for 10 million years. And the entire planet was named after a pregnant deer tried to cross over a stream. But because of the loud roar, that out of fear, the deer delivered a baby fawn and she died in the stream. And so he ran to protect that little baby. A gentle-hearted person would do so, and he did that. And now he suddenly felt, oh, this little orphaned baby deer has no one to take care of it. I will take care of it. And suddenly he became like a foster father for that baby deer. Without any hesitation, he forgot or neglected his own devotional activities. And slowly and slowly, his whole attention was on the deer. He would recite his mantras, and in the middle of it, he would wonder where the deer is. And he would talk to the deer. He would chide it like he would a small child. And if the deer was brooding somewhere, then he would stop his worship, go and pet the deer and try to convince him, cajole him back. And so he became attached to that deer. And when he gave up his life, strict cultivation of Krishna consciousness in the Vanaprastha stage. And Vanaprastha means entering the Vana forest. So he went to reside in Pulaha Ashram. And in Pulaha Ashram, he continued his practices. One day, he heard the loud roar of a lion. And he observed that because of that roar of a lion, a pregnant deer tried to cross over a stream. But because of the loud roar, that out of fear, the deer delivered a baby fawn, and she died in the stream. And so he reached him, like any father would. He tried to teach him so that at least in his life he can do something for himself. So he said, well, I'll teach him what a person would do. So, and he did that. And now he suddenly felt, oh, this little orphaned baby deer has no one to take care of it. I will take care of it. And suddenly he became like a foster father for that baby deer. And in the absorption of taking care of that baby deer, I'm going back to Godhead. Forgot or neglected his own activities. And slowly, his whole attention was on the deer. He would recite his mantras, and in the middle of it, he would wonder where the deer is. And he would talk to the deer. He would chide it like he would a small child. And if the deer was brooding somewhere, then he would stop his worship, go and pet. So as he was sitting in the fields one day, some dacoits came and arrested him and took him, because the leader of the dacoits was hoping to have a son. And among the dacoit community, they came up with a ritual that said, they were actually going to sin, which one leaves one's body, the next will, a particular dull person. Somehow their rituals are suitable to that consciousness, and offer the blood and the flesh to Goddess Kali. She will happily accept it. And in response was that because he was such an advanced devotee, that Krishna preserved. And so they were now searching for another dull-headed person. And they happened to meet Jadabharat. So they said, well, he looks strong and stout, and he's all, you know, all his limbs are nice. Maybe we should take him. And so they arrested and took him. And he didn't protest that either. He remembered, oh, this time I should be careful. As described that he was in the Pulaha Ashrama, and he didn't talk to anyone. He didn't make the mistake. They smeared his body with scent. He didn't make the mistake. As a deer also, he didn't talk to anyone. And after he gave up, he went to the Pulaha Ashram and sat there, and just somehow, Vedic system in general is that you can convey a lot without saying anything. In the gross, nowadays modern, you have to say a lot, and you convey nothing. But in the Vedic system, you say very little, and you convey a lot. So by the tilak they would put on, having a sikha on the head, anybody would know, that is a Vaishnav. Nowadays, because the hairstyles are so variegated, you don't know where they belong. So which tradition? Is there a tradition? Or they make up their own, I guess, we can't even say tradition, but category of, I guess, human beings. Sama, Yajur, Vedas. And through the second, and so even the tilaks, they vary. The only bona fide tilak is the Urdhva Pundraka, the two lines that go vertical. Urdhva Pundraka. This is the only bona fide tilak, because it is representing the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. There is another one which is now accepted as bona fide, but it is really not, is the three horizontal lines. This is for worshippers of Lord Shiva. And this you could say somewhere, but everything else is new. There's a red dot, there's a red line, there is a white horizontal dash, variety of tilak. And they're all, we could say, concocted or made up. So this Svavidhina, they put him all tilak, they made him sit in front of Goddess Kali, and they sang their song. He can do something for himself. So he said, well, I'll teach him Brahmanical principles. So he taught him, or tried to teach him. Means they made up their own ritual, which is not proper or anything, are to be done according to regulative principles. Regulative means there is a governing body, if you like. The governing body is Guru Sadhu Shastra. Everything must be within the Vedic scriptures. If it is done according to that, then you are regulated. And the Bhagavatam describes that it was not that he was dull or slow. He was doing it intentionally. Because his consciousness this time was fixed on Krishna, and he had all intentions to not make the same error that he had as Maharaj Bharat. And this time he was convinced that whatever it takes, I'm going back to Godhead. I'm going back to Vaikuntha. Nothing can stop me. These worldly activities, they're not for me. And so he never cared for anything for himself. And his father passed away. And the 9 brothers, they were not merciful to him. They thought of him as a fool, and so they gave him burnt rice, uncooked stuff, rotten food, and made him sit in the fields at night to guard the crops. And he never protested. He didn't say, whoa, how come I'm getting this kind of food and you're eating like it? Nothing. He didn't protest. Because this is not important for him. Honor, dishonor. And so everyone is by nature or by principle indebted for him. So as he was sitting in the fields one day, some dacoits came and arrested him and took him. Because the leader of the dacoits was hoping to have a son. And among the dacoit community, they came up with a ritual that said, they were actually going to kill a particular dull person. Somehow their ritual said that you could kill a dull person and offer the blood and the flesh to Goddess Kali. It's not exclusive club. And they, because people vary from the mode of ignorance through mode of goodness and anything in between, the Vedic scriptures cover all such grades of consciousness. So there are what's called the sattvic scriptures, the rajasic scriptures, and the tamasic scriptures. The nomenclature is such, the tamasic shastra. It's not that shastra is tamasic or in the mode of ignorance. It is the scripture for the persons in the mode of ignorance. So the mode of ignorance means a person doesn't understand what is proper religion, what is proper way of approaching the higher personalities. They don't know how to conduct their lives. Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita that religion for the persons in the mode of goodness is different than the way people understand religion in the mode of ignorance. In fact, in the mode of ignorance, no religion, decrying religion, abnegating and rejecting religion is their religion. They accept irreligion to become their irreligion. So in the mode of ignorance, everything that they do has something to do with violence or very gross kind of engagements. So the two Prabhupada gives us is meat eating and sex indulgence. And so, because a person by nature in the mode of ignorance is violent, the Vedic scriptures also give such persons concessions. Oils, sandalwood paste, and put on tilak, I wonder what tilak they might have put on him. You know, in India, the tilaks are of varieties. Generally, by a tilak, what tradition they belong to. Because Vedic system in general is that you can convey a lot without saying anything. In the gross, nowadays modern, you have to say a lot and you convey nothing. But in the Vedic system, you say very little and you convey a lot. So by the tilak they would put on, having a sikha on the head, day, Amavasya, to a Kali temple. And you have to personally kill the goat or the buffalo. Most people would settle for goat because trying to maneuver the buffalo is not easy. So take a goat and you have to look into the eyes of the goat and offer a prayer saying, it is very, I can't even say tradition, but category of, I guess, human beings. And so even the tilaks, they vary. The only bona fide tilak is the Urdhva Pundraka. So in Sanskrit, this word is called Mamsaha. In Indian languages, different dialects say it differently. It's called Masa or Mamsa. But the word is Mamsaha. Unto me as unto you. So because I am taking your life, I'm allowing you as the soul in your next life, feet of Lord Vishnu. There is another one which is now accepted as bona fide, but it is really not, is the three horizontal lines. This is for worshippers of Lord Shiva. And this you could say somewhere, but everything else is new. There's a red dot, there's a red line, there is a white horizontal dash, there is something. There's this variety of tilak. And they're all, oh no, don't tell me. I had a friend who, I like seafood. Whatever I see, I like it to be my food. Seafood. So people don't know. People don't know how it gets there. When they have to do it on their own, so the Vedas say, when you do this on your own, hopefully, either the first time or maybe they have their own special ritual. And Prabhupada says that Svavidhina means they made up their own ritual, which is not proper. Rituals or anything are to be done according to regulative principles. Regulative means there is a governing body, if you like. The governing body is Guru Sadhu Shastra. Everything must be within the Vedic scriptures. If it is done according to that, then you are regulated. Or must be, even within the Vedic Shastra, one cannot just take anything they want. It must be prescribed by Guru. Just like you go to a teach them, Prabhu, three times a day is good enough. So after first level of regulation is, instead of eating something indiscriminately that is not offered to Vishnu, first offer to Vishnu. That's the first level of regulation. The second level of regulation is the timing. How many times a day? Prasadam doesn't mean, you know, sada hari, all the time. Not cure. If you're trying to, you know, cure diarrhea and you figure out some other medicine which actually enhances or cures constipation, then it makes it worse. So we cannot just take any medicine we like. We have to take something that is prescribed, that is called regulated. So this Svavidhina means they didn't care for Vedic standards. So the Vedic scriptures are styled in such a way that they, Prabhupada would call that the staircase method. Gradually, one step at a time. Then there is the elevator method. In fact, it's said that when in a building, if there is a stair and an elevator, it makes sense to take the elevator. Because in Kali Yuga, time is of essence. So instead of going to a Kali temple and killing a goat once a month and slowly hoping that one day I'll become a vegetarian, the Sankirtan movement is that to go beyond all of this, go beyond these kinds of worship methodologies. And the only worship is to chant the Hare Krishna mantra and to eat Krishna prasadam. This, in fact, is the highest stage that one can come to. And in Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expedited it for us. We were singing Jagannath Ashtakam. So on one hand, there's these dacoits who came up with their self-styled worship methodology. And on the other, when Lord Jagannath is on his Rath Yatra cart, he says, Lord Jagannath is an ocean of mercy and he is beautiful like a row of blackish rain clouds. He is the storehouse of bliss for Lakshmi and Saraswati, and his face is like a spotless, full-blown lotus. He is worshipped by the best of the demigods and sages, and his glories are sung by the Upanishads. So it's not dacoits, but great sages and brahmanas, and according to the Upanishads, regulated. Of course, in the case of Shri Bhutapta, Nirnam Pitranam, I said they're Rini. One is indebted for the various instruments through which Krishna's mercy comes into this material world. And to access that mercy, there is a particular methodology. Can't self-style it. In garlands, I think one of the lines in the drama is, for he would return every night smelling of sweet camphor and sandalwood, you know, by serving the deity like that. And Lord Jagannath or Nila Madhava accepted that worship. Yet, the reason is that the methodology itself may be self-styled. But Krishna looks beyond that to the essence. He is a saragrahi. For anyone else, that doesn't work. You have to follow strictly the Vedic paradigm. For Krishna, beyond the Vedic paradigm, is the paradigm of loving interaction. Now, we cannot do that. We are not recommended to do that. We are not recommended to skip over the regulative devotional principles and just operate on spontaneous ecstatic expressions. If we were to do that, it would be very hurtful for our devotional life. And the other verse it says here, so the Vedas by nature are so compassionate that they include all human beings. They don't exclude anyone. It's not exclusive club. And they, because people vary from the mode of ignorance through mode of goodness and anything in between, the Vedic scriptures cover all such grades of consciousness. So there are what's called the sattvic scriptures, the rajasic scriptures, and the tamasic scriptures. The nomenclature is such, the tamasic shastra. It's not that shastra is tamasic or in the mode of ignorance. It is the scripture for the persons in the mode of ignorance. So the mode of ignorance means a person doesn't understand what is proper religion. What is proper way of approaching the all gratification, all results, all must be immediate. And the sooner it happens, that is taken as advancement. The real advancement is their personalities. They don't know how to conduct their lives. Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita that religion for the persons in the mode of goodness is different than the way people understand necessary qualities of patience, tolerance, and understanding that one is not the controller. But when things happen quickly, communications, travel, we can call it cooking for the moment. But nobody cooks from scratch. Right? The concept of buying vegetables, cutting them, cooking them, you know, with spices, waiting for it to nicely simmer and cook, all that's not there. Food has already been processed to such a degree that at best, the long waiting period is about 40 seconds for the microwave to, you know, ring the bell. Ting! Ah, I had to wait so long. I don't like this brand of food. Everything is instantaneous. Pre-processed. Because people don't want to cultivate those qualities, which are necessary. Which are necessary for upliftment of consciousness. So we've styled, or we find ourselves in the middle of a fabric or lifestyle or culture where things all have to be done, happen instantaneously. And though at the so-called advantages of that instantaneous society have been extolled like anything. Like someone would argue, if planes were all not invented and transportation all was not, would your grandmother ever have visited America? And the answer is, my grandmother never wanted to go to America. So the plane is not useful for her anyway. Why would my grandmother want to travel across the world? For what? So Prabhupada would argue, oh, transportation, it's gotten faster. And Prabhupada asks, you're going very fast, where? For what? And he quoted recently, that an Indian, Prabhupada was narrating this, that a great Indian poet, his name was Rabindranath Tagore, when he visited London, England, he saw that the cars were whizzing by, zoom, zoom, zoom. And so he asked someone, it was exclusion. Everyone's included. Everyone is fitting. Everyone is eligible for Krishna's mercy. Where are we going? What is it that we can manifest is different for different grades of consciousness. So Vedic scriptures also include people who are severely in the mode of ignorance. So instead of saying, do not eat meat, the Vedic scriptures say, if you are really wanting to cement or modern amenity, they're not useful. Then this is how you do it. You take a goat or a buffalo. Personally, whoever wants to eat, we don't assign somebody this job. The advancement is that we want to culture our thoughts. We want to improve our thoughts. And that is by refining it, by engaging our mind in Krishna. This is the purpose of life. And then the pastime continues. Any comments or thoughts? Yes, Mataji. One day, Amavasya, to a Kali temple, and you have to personally kill the goat or the buffalo. Most people would settle for goat because trying to maneuver the buffalo is not easy. So take a goat, and you have to look into the eyes of the goat and offer a saying, it is very difficult for me to control my tongue. And because it's very difficult, I'm having to take your life. But here's an agreement that in the next life, you can kill me. So in Sanskrit, this word is called Mamsaha. In Indian languages, different dialects say it differently. There is called Masa or Mamsa. But the word is Mamsaha. Unto me as unto you. So because I am taking your life, I am allowing you as the soul in your next life to take my life. Because it's mutual. We've talked about this in the past. So, Jai Jagannath Prabhu and I, we've talked about this. First thing is, going back to Godhead is not a cheap thing. It's not something cheap that, well, I can do anything I want. And if I'm chanting, most meat eaters, if you show them how that piece of meat came to their plate, they would not eat it. Because one is holding on to those material conceptions. So it's not pure. So that corporate environment, and we would go out for all these dinners, and because I had to do all this. So I would sit and eat nothing, and people would eat different things. And I would ask them, do you know how that got onto your plate? And before anything, they would say, please don't spoil the party for us. Don't say. Because if you do this to the degree one is committed or one is being enthusiastic, don't say. Because if you say, I will not be able to eat it. Your point here. I don't want you to eat it. Oh, no, don't tell me. I had a friend who said, I like seafood. Whatever I see, I like it to be my food. Seafood. So people don't know. People don't know how it gets there. When they have to do it on their own, so the Vedas say, when you do this on your own, hopefully, either the first time, or maybe the 100th time, maybe the 1,000th time, you'll wonder, well, how many lifetimes have I promised already that I'm going to be murdered by these souls? Maybe I shouldn't do this. Yes, that's the first grade up. So they do it in a very concessional manner. Same with elevator. Jitendra Prabhu? One more thing. Generally, you said it yesterday, so I'll say the same thing, just a little differently. The pitfall or the problem trouble one falls into is, although one is practicing the principles of bhakti, you know, externally, the conception that things don't happen by our effort needs to be very clear. That the progress is by Krishna's mercy. And so whenever one finds oneself in difficulty, the first thing, like almost instinctively, the one does, or people do, is try to put their effort to fix it, either by forced abnegation or doing something differently. And they expend so much human energy and time. All that can be done very easily, relatively easily, by seeking Krishna's mercy. Because mercy is the operating principle here. So for a person who's finding it difficult, how many gulab jamuns? In fact, the more gulab jamuns a newcomer can eat, they show promise for a great devotional service. But then somewhere, we teach them, Prabhu, 3 times a day is good enough. So after first level of regulation is, instead of eating something indiscriminately that is not offered to Vishnu, first offered to Vishnu. That's the first level of regulation. The second level of regulation is the timing. How many times a day? Prasadam doesn't mean, you know, sada hari, all the time. Not kirtaniya, some prasadam all the time. This next regulation is the regulation of time. And the third regulation is quantity. And unless, so if a newcomer, you say, Prabhu, only this much. That is how they do it in Hindu temples. The concept of prasadam is, when you're walking out, they touch a spoon to your hand and you have to figure out, what is this thing?